Family Missions would like to say thank you to Pastor Bernie Lewis, First Assembly of God, for your mission support in Honduras as we minister to children. We build churches and host many missions teams that do all kind of ministry. Thank you so much for your support of our family and the Children's Gift Ministry. Nearly 10 years ago, Harrow Family Mission started itinerating. Pastor Harsey was one of the first to sponsor our family. There are so many needs in Honduras that you can't escape them when you live there. You see the needs on the streets. You see the addiction to drugs and the homelessness. You see the effects of the gangs everywhere. You hear it in the news, you see it in the papers, and as you preach from church to church, you always hear of the gang activity and the violence and, yes, the murder. We thank you over the years for your prayers and your generosity in partnering with the Children's Gift Ministry, which through the Back to Classes with Jesus program has reached thousands of children all over the country, helping them to get off of the streets, out of the reach of the gangs, and back to classes with Jesus. Through these evangelism events that the children are bussed into, their lives are literally changed as they hear the gospel, some of them for the very first time, and they give their lives to Jesus Christ. They receive a backpack filled with school supplies that enables them to be able to start their classes. What joy it is when these children sense the love of God from you, our partners and our donors, when they receive their backpacks, when they hear the gospel, when they receive a lunch, the joy is just amazing. Thank you for partnering with Harrow Family Missions and the Children's Gift Ministry in Honduras. This year, the map of Honduras is completely covered with evangelism events and backpacks that we received in this container and unloaded into the Children's Gift Ministry warehouse, from which these school supplies will be distributed all over the country. We are so proud of the pastors that work with us, the Children's Gift Ministry team. We have a manual that we teach the pastors all over the country how to work with Back to Classes with Jesus. For years now, Hilltop Community Church and the Women's Ministry, among others, have sent Children's Gift Ministry boxes to Honduras. For many years, we have had kids' crusades with the gifts that you send, and children accept Christ and are so thrilled to receive their humanitarian items and their gifts that you have sent them. Thank you on behalf of thousands of children in Honduras that have been blessed through your support of the Children's Gift Ministry. We also started Equip Conference for children's pastors to start to train children's pastors in Honduras. Thank you for your continued support of our family. Now, as you know, we're here in the United States, and we're so happy to be able to come to you and ask for your continued support of our ministry. Thank you, and God bless you for supporting Harrow Family Missions and the Children's Gift Ministry.
And with that, I'm going to get to introduce another one of my favorites. Come on up, Ken. Brother Ken Harrell was gracious enough. was gracious enough to share his country with us on last year's mission trip. He even got us next to a place where I could get a half-price lobster tail with French fries. He's the man. But now Ken, on that trip, Ken and I, we spent a lot of time talking and fellowshipping and really gaining an appreciation for his heart. He's a tremendous man, and I absolutely love getting to work with him. And I'm even more thrilled that he's living on our campus. So those of you who have heard about the Missions House, this is our brother. We're glad to have him and his family. And with that, I turn it over to you, Ken.
Thank you. God bless you, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Good morning. It's great to be here with you this morning. We have been here with you over this past, I guess, almost a month. And just want to say thank you. And I hope you never get weary of hearing us say thank you. For having us as your missionary family in this experiment of the Missions House project. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Bernie, Pastora Susan, Brother Jason, Brother John, Sister Melanie, just everybody who has been involved in this vision. And thank you for your heart for missions. Thank you for your heart for missions and for missionaries. Thank you. Amen. We like to consider ourselves your arms extended. Thank you for allowing us to be your arms extended to the mission field. But you know what? A pair of arms without a body, you know, it's not a pretty picture. We need you, and you have made our mission possible. And, you know, hopefully, and I know you do, you feel the same way, a body without arms, it's hard to reach. And so, you know, this thing that we call world missions, it's not our idea. It's God's idea. It's born out of the heart of God's love. And Christ is the one who is seated at the right hand of the Father, organizing worldwide evangelism through his body. We are the body of Christ, manifesting the love of the Father upon this earth. And he has chosen, for some crazy reason that we can't fathom, God will have to show us when we get to glory, he's chosen us. Praise the Lord. Amen. His mercy truly does endure forever. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be with you this morning, and it's great to have my wife and our three children here with us. We live right across the street. We're about to walk across the street in the snow this morning to come to church. Praise the Lord. Wasn't that cool? Amen. We also have special guests with us, and that's the Backman family. Praise the Lord. We're so glad to have Brother Roger and Amanda and their children. Amen. The first wedding that we ever preached when we pastored Airport Assembly of God in Columbia, South Carolina, was their wedding. And I told him, I said, I'm going to tie this tight now. I'm going to tie it really tight. You're never going to be able to get it undone. And it's been over 10 years. How many years has it been? All right. Praise God. All right. And so it's an honor to have them here with us. We love them. We appreciate them. And the pictures that you saw in that video, I mean, it touches us deeply. And we miss our missions field. And we are so excited. Your excitement for missions just stokes our fire even more. That missions convention last night and Friday night, I mean, awesome. Awesome. I mean, there's just not words to express the amount of vision and energy and time and love that this church has poured into missions. They have just adopted the heart of God and, you know, stuffed it inside of First Assembly of God of Rock Hill. And I love it. Woo, glory. Amen. As my spiritual father, Lowell Haynes, would say. All right. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning. Now, they've taken the offering already, but there's many of you that are yet to hear the Spirit's voice on how crazy He wants you to get for this year's missions pledge. So I want to preach and want to challenge, want to encourage, and thank you. All that all wrapped up in a message entitled, The Greatest Mission. The greatest mission of all. And I mean, we're talking about the greatest mission of all time. This is exciting. This is the absolute highest call. So it's so complex, we have to break it up into two parts. And it's straight out of the Bible. We'll go to Matthew chapter 22. And it's in that place where, you know, these religious, the Pharisees, they're wanting to trick Jesus, or so they think. And so they ask him, you know, that question, oh, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replies in verse number 37. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. Praise the Lord. Sounds easy, doesn't it? It's easy to say. We can memorize it. But, you know, living this out, fleshing it out, working it out with fear and trembling is our life's work. Learning how to love the Lord our God and allowing Him to do what He wants to do in us, His mission field. The first mission field is right here. Now, I got saved when I was 21 years old. The Lord just snatched me up off the street. I'm first generation Pentecostal, but I'm Pentecostal to the bone. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing that breaks the yoke. Missions is driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing in a century how God has used the Pentecostal church to drive missions all over the globe through the winds and the power and the fire of the Pentecostal message that Jesus saves. Not just inviting us into a religion, but setting us on fire with a relationship that burns. The love of God. The love of God that challenges us to leave behind our comforts and what we would want in our lives and enables us to step out of comfort zones and share the gospel. I love that song this morning. Take it to the nations, take it to the neighbor. Man, after I got saved, I just couldn't shut up. I couldn't shut up. You know, a lot of my friends wanted me to shut up, but I couldn't shut up. I had to share what had happened to me in my life with everyone. Had a whole lot of zeal, not a whole lot of wisdom. But, you know, they knew that I had been with Jesus. Amen. It's not Jesus that needs to be perfected. It's not the witness of Jesus. It's our witness that needs to be perfected. And that only comes as we do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are the greatest missions field right here, because until we allow God to do His work in us, we can never grow past ourselves and reach outside of ourselves. Amen? And so that's a part of our growth in our relationship with God. Our goal is that our skin will grow so thin to where when they look at us, they don't see us. They see Jesus' love in us. Amen? They see a sincere and pure love, not just to win another soul, not just to, you know, have another statistic, another number, but out of a sincere compassion and empathy. I'm concerned about you, what you're going through. And I believe that was just what was so awesome about Jesus. When men and women, when they looked into His eyes, it was like looking into eternity. And it was looking into the Father's heart. And they could see and sense and feel and know with a surety that somebody genuinely loved them unconditionally. Wow. It's like when somebody knows you and everything about you, and you're completely vulnerable, and yet they don't hold any of that against you. They still say, I love you with all my heart. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you've done, who you are, all the hidden secrets and the recesses and, you know, dark places of our hearts. God already knows it. And God knows it about every person in the world. Yet, he raises up people, causes people to sacrifice, to go, and to send, to reach the sinners that crucified Christ to the cross because of our sins. The amazing story, the greatest love story of all time, is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost's decision to get together and say, we will create a plan of salvation. Because man cannot save themselves. Not by works. They can't buy it. They can never earn it. Yet, the debt must be paid. And the Son says, I'll go. From an old rugged tree, he proposed to me. On my knees, I said, I do. Amen? Hallelujah. The greatest story. Missions. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit begins to whisper into our lives. And he begins to teach us to sacrifice and obey in small ways. And as we grow in that relationship, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you walk by a piece of trash on the sidewalk and the Spirit keeps nagging at you until you turn around and you have to go back and pick it up. Little things the Spirit begins to speak to you about, and you think, well, in the grander scheme of things, that's nothing. Really, that's huge if it helps to develop your obedience to Christ. Because if we can't obey him in the little tiny things, how are we going to obey him in the earth-shaking things? Amen? And God loves us enough to he invest his Holy Spirit. What a beautiful thing conviction of the Holy Spirit is, that God would take the time to love us enough to speak to us. Oh, such patience for a rebellious sinner like me. Amen? We are the first missions field, learning to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, learning to hear his voice, learning that he really does love us unconditionally, learning that in spite of all of our limitations, we serve a limitless God, and finally learning that the Holy Spirit is able to give us revelation and show us that the old man is dead, and now this life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he died for me, and his Holy Spirit now is the one living in and through me, and now nothing is impossible. Wow. Walking on water, the shadow of Peter healing the sick, laying hands, raising the dead, all of those things. Well, you know, that was just for the early church. You know, speaking in tongues, interpretation, all these things. It's real. It's real. And the fire of the Holy Spirit is still exploding and anointing in nations all over the world. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. It really is. And you are right here at Ground Zero, First Assembly of God of Rock Hill. You are at like the birthplace, the fountain where it just comes out. You know, this is where the Spirit of God is speaking to individual people who support those kind of works that make it possible. God can create. He's a creative God. Wouldn't it be awesome if he just created my budget every month, and on the 10th of every month, we just woke up and our wallets and our purses were filled to overflowing. I claim it. Right? But that's not how God, he could have called the angels to preach to the nations, but God has a design, and he chose to work through his body, you and I. Amen? Amen. Some must go, Others must send. We all must pray. Amen. There are some of us who send as we sent when we pastored, and then they're called later to go. We're not the ones in charge. You say, well, what do you have on your schedule? Well, I have a schedule. I have an agenda. I have an idea of what my future looks like. But you know what? At the end of the day, ask him, because he's really the only one who knows. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Spirit whispers and speaks, and he teaches us obedience so that we will begin to grow out of ourselves, and we will adopt that attitude of, I must decrease, but he must increase. The older we get, and the closer we get to heaven, the more we, you know, start to think about, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, right? But, you know, we all learn to sacrifice and to die to ourselves. And we come to a place where we realize that when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, you know what? When you give something to somebody, that means it's no longer yours. I'm going to say that again. When you give something to someone, that means it's no longer yours. They used to call them Indian giver if you go back and you try to take it back, right? Yeah? Well, so many people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord when it really gets down to it. Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to take my life. I want to give you this and that. And, you know, I really do want to be a good Christian, Lord. But as we begin to grow in the Lord, and he begins to put his hand upon our lives in answer to our prayers. We don't know what we're praying many times. Lord, use me. Lord, put your hand on my life. And so God comes and he puts his finger right there. And his fingerprint is eternally upon a mark on our lives. He changes us. He reveals things to us. And one of the things that he began to work on me about was that your life is not your own. When he who is our life shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. But until then, this is his life. It's his mission. It's his purpose. It's his breath in our lungs. It's his heart that's beating in us. We want to be his hands, his feet, his eyes, his mouth. Hallelujah. Amen? This is missions. This is the greatest mission. It's so complex, you got to break it up into two parts. Amen? The first part is overcoming ourselves, our own mission field, so that we can eventually overcome, you know, the big us. And verse number 39. And the second commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Have you ever gotten mad at God? Okay, don't lie. Just don't say nothing. This is a relationship. This isn't a religion where and there's emotions involved in relationships. And I was sprawled out on the carpet in the nursery of my church in Greenville that I got saved in, and I was there for about 10 years holding up the arms of the Haynes. And I couldn't understand why my mama wasn't saved. And I was gritting my teeth and hitting the floor with my fist and just crying because I had fasted. I had prayed. I had witnessed, and my mama hadn't gotten saved. And I'm saying, God, I'm holding you to account. You're God. A lot of zeal, not a lot of wisdom. We grow. Amen? We all have blind spots. You don't even know how many blind spots you have until they're removed. Go on a missions trip. That'll help you rub out some of them blind spots. But, you know, after I finished my temper tantrum, the Lord spoke to me through his spirit and asked me these questions. Number one, what makes your mother's soul more valuable than anybody else's soul all over the world? Wow. And then secondly, he began to teach me about free will and how that he was doing everything that he possibly could to convict her. He died for her on the cross. And that she had to take the steps necessary for him to do the work in her life. And through that, I began to look at souls much differently. To stand up here and to say it, it perhaps doesn't mean very much. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and he puts his fingerprint on your life, it stays with you forever. And it's deep, it's profound, it becomes a part of who you are. And that enables a missionary to leave their family, to leave their mother, their father, and to be able to go to the souls that God has called you to. Knowing and trusting that God will take care of those that you've left behind. Amen? Hallelujah. It's overcoming yourself and reaching out to others because of God's call and his ability. It's an enabling of the Holy Spirit to allows us to reach a point to where we will say, if you send me, Lord, I'll go. If you send me, Lord, I'll go. The Holy Spirit impresses on you, and he begins to put pressure on your spirit. You sense a change in the air, in the dynamic of your life, and you know that you have to move, you have to obey, or something's not going to happen right in your life. And you begin to cry out to God, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. And then the Lord answers. Amen? Amen. And in Luke chapter 10, verse number 2, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask you the Lord of the harvest, therefore, that he will send out workers, laborers, into his harvest field. And then he says, go! Exclamation point. Go! I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Amen. Just go. I've got this. I'll take care of you. Whether you live or whether you die, whether you're comfortable, whether you're not, really doesn't matter. All that's important is that you fulfill your purpose, my purpose, in your life. It's deep. When you commit to being saved, when you commit to being a Christian, you're committing to a whole lot more than we think about sometimes. It's not the greasy grace or the sloppy gospel of name it, claim it, and blab it, grab it. It really is a commitment to serve the Lord God and say, I've given you my life. I've given you my life, and you're my Savior, but you're also my Lord. And you're the one calling the shots from here on out, not me. And we're learning that Jesus isn't just the co-pilot, but we're learning to let Jesus slide over our lap and saying, Jesus, you take the wheel. We keep wanting to grab it back, especially, you know, like the missionary drivers in Honduras, you know. You keep wanting to reach over and grab the wheel, but just let it go. Let it go. Let it go and trust him. Say, you think I'm a crazy driver? You should ride with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's a good ride. It's the best ride. We've been studying. Pastor Bernie is such a wonderful preacher and teacher. We've been getting our souls fed. It's been so good on the life of Daniel and of Moses. And, you know, it's a faith walk. It's a faith walk. And I'm going to close with this. While itinerating, like not very long ago, about 7 years, had an opportunity to come back and to raise our funds, kind of emergency budget kind of thing. And so I was preaching at a church, actually preached a revival in Tennessee. And the pastor called me into his office at the end of the revival. He said, wow, missionary, you're blessed. And I said, well, thank you, sir. Thank you. He said, no, really. He said, you got $2,500 in the offering this morning. I was like, woo, praise God for missions. Yeah. So then he wanted to reschedule me again. And he said, well, I believe you'll be blessed, preacher, because that same family's in the church. And I thought, well, what? I think I'm missing something. He said, oh, I didn't tell you that story. I said, no. He said, well, there was a family in the church last year when you came to preach, and the wife came in about a week after you left, and she sat down and she said, Pastor, I'm upset. And he said, well, what else is new? No, he didn't say it. He said, he said, what about, sister? And she said, well, you know, that preacher was preaching, and at the end of his message, he gave his plug for missions, and he said, there might be some here who, if you gave a dollar, it would be a sacrifice. But there might be others who could write a check for $1,000 and it wouldn't even make a dent. Just obey the Holy Spirit. And so, you know what? I felt $1,000. And I elbowed my husband. I said, let's write a check for $1,000. And he said, well, I would, honey, but I left a checkbook in the car. She said, well, go get it. So he ran out and got a checkbook and wrote a check for $1,000. And so she said, but what's bothering me is we were expecting an insurance check for hail damage on our roof for $800. She said, but when the check came, it came for $1,800. And what's bothering me is now I feel like I didn't give nothing. And I really wanted to give sacrificially to missions like the Spirit was speaking to me. And the pastor received a word that flesh and blood had not revealed to him. And I've never have forgotten it. He told her, he said, well, you know, sister, you don't always have to sacrifice to give to missions. Sometimes the Lord is just looking for somebody who he can give through. You don't always have to sacrifice. You may want to sacrifice. The test may be that the Holy Spirit challenged you to sacrifice, but in the end, it's all God's anyway. Amen. He's the one who gave it, and he's the one who'll take it away. It's going to get spent one way or the other. And if God's calling you to give it to missions and you don't, you're not going to enjoy whatever you spent it on. But sometimes you give in obedience and you think you're wanting to give, and God's so tricky. It's just a test. It ended up, it didn't even affect their bottom line in their bank account at all. Not one red dime. One red penny. Sometimes you don't have to sacrifice to give. God is just looking for somebody who he can give through. And it doesn't just work with finances. We are the greatest missions field. God is not after what we have. He's not after ours. He's after us. He's passionate about us. He loves us. But he wants us not only to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. He wants to love this world through us, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So, obey the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you about your missions pledge. If you've already made your missions pledge and you feel challenged, you want to up it, you want to edit it, just obey the Holy Spirit. You may have a amount in your mind, you know, that you want to give, and God may just sneak up on you and say, boo, and surprise you. And meet that goal the first month. You might want to make another. You might want to make a new goal every month. Wouldn't that be awesome? God is more than able. God is sufficient. And his passion and love for this world is manifested through this body. And God bless you for allowing the Holy Spirit to reach you and to minister to you and then through you. Amen. There's so much more I want to share with you about how your support has ministered to Honduras, the fruit from the field. So much awesome things going on. I'm not going to be able to share that with you now. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for reaching into our lives, saving us, not when we were at our best, but when we were at our worst. Thank you, Lord, for taking away the shame. Thank you, Lord God, for lighting our hearts ablaze with the love for souls and for missions. Father, I pray that, Lord, if there's one here, Lord, today, that, Lord, they're just on the beginning, Lord, of, Lord, their adventure, Lord, of being, Lord, the mission field. If there's a soul here, Lord, that does not know you or that is not serving you how they know they should, I pray that your Spirit is convicting them right now, and the church pleads the blood of Jesus over a soul that needs Christ or needs healing or needs a deliverance in this place today. Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning and you just feel the Holy Spirit, you feel like you want to give your life to Christ, would you just slip your hand up and say, you know, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to rededicate my life to Him this morning.